As Mark mentioned, today is an all-age service. It's the third and last for this summer. Sometimes we've had as many as five. This summer is only three. And as was mentioned, the children stay with us throughout the service. The teaching is directed to challenges that we all face, and fear is one of those that I think we have seen in the past couple weeks that we can all identify with, regardless of age. However, the presentation, I try to focus on the children so that they can understand, and if I get it to them, I'm sure everyone else can take something with them as well. We've talked a few things about fear. I think maybe some of you from the U.S. and maybe that have experience in Indiana out in the Midwest may have had a little bit of that this morning as you looked up at the sky and you saw it turning green in the one direction. Anybody of you noticed? How many of you noticed that? I see some hands going up. That was generally an indication that there might be tornadoes coming. I see some nods going. And for some, that was a good reason to fear. My wife's family lived in Tornado Alley. They've had numerous. You still remember the Easter Sunday and what, 100 tornadoes went through that weekend? It was something to be afraid of. We talked of, see, a lot of you are new. Tyler, I know you were here for at least one of them. We talked about being afraid of dogs and spiders, snakes, monsters under the bed. Things in the dark that we don't know, they go bump and like, oh, what was that? We're afraid of things. Do you know, well, the most frequently thing in the Bible that's mentioned, fear, is to be afraid of God. We're to fear the Lord. And that's a good thing. But the next thing, do you know what the next most frequently mentioned thing that people fear in the Bible? Do you know what that is? No? Adults, do you know what the next thing that people fear in the Bible? Well, death is something we fear, but I found a little more frequently is man. People. We fear people and what they will do to us. Many times it comes, as in the psalm this morning, I will not fear people. Or when I am afraid, I will trust in God. Because they're afraid of what people will do to them. Why do we fear other people? Can you help me there? Why are you ever afraid of people? Yeah. Have you ever been afraid of your teacher in school? I said, What were you afraid of your teacher? Were you afraid of a teacher? No? That's good. I'm glad. I'm sure your teachers are glad to hear that too. Were you afraid they'd yell at you? Yeah. Some teachers can yell and get mad. Our kids had a few that way. They weren't too nice. Second grade teacher? Yeah, being afraid you'd be called up front and have to do your multiplication table in front of everybody else and you couldn't do it. And you'd be ashamed. Oh. What else are we afraid of people? What they might think of you? Ever afraid what people might think of you? You make a foolish mistake and they laugh at you? Does that ever happen? And you don't want that to happen. And your friends go, look at him. Oh, that's hard. They might make fun of us. What they might say, maybe you don't think in your age about this, but adults would identify what people might say about you to others. Have you ever been afraid of that? Oh, what are they going to say? What are they going to tell others? I don't want them to know this. And we have all this fear. Now, fear of people has another aspect which we don't always see as fear. But it's clearly associated with fear. There's an interesting verse in John 12 that points this out quite clearly. Now, in John 12, almost half of John's gospel, first half, covers the first 3 years of Jesus' ministry. And the last half is just the last week or so of his life. The time he spends before his crucifixion and then about his crucifixion and resurrection and a little bit of time at the end with his disciples afterwards. And so by John 12, He's had 3 years of ministry, and Jesus has been preaching, and he's been doing miracles. But the Jewish leadership have been fighting against him, and they don't like him, and they want to get rid of him. The majority of the leaders did not accept Jesus as Messiah, even though he had done lots of miracles. But a few did. A few, even of the leaders, believed in Jesus. And this is what John wrote about them in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him, in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, because they loved praise from men more than praise from God. These leaders who did believe were afraid what others would do to them. So they did not publicly say they believed in Jesus. They wouldn't tell it to others. They believed in their hearts, but they wouldn't say anything out loud because they were afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue. Now, why would they be afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue? Do you know what the synagogue was? Heads going this way and heads going this way. The synagogue was the place where the Jews met together. It started probably back in the time when they had been taken out of the land. They could no longer go to the temple to worship. So they formed little groups where they got together. Eventually it became you had to have at least 10 men to start one. And that's where they would meet to be instructed from the Bible and to worship together. And it became a community center where people came together. And if there was someone who had need, they would care for the widows, all organized from their local synagogues. Now, what would have it meant for a Jew to be kicked out of the synagogue, to say you couldn't come here anymore? You know what that would mean? What would it mean? Is there any place that you really like to go?
Swimming.
Okay. Do you like going with your friends? What would happen if you were told, you can't come to the swimming pool anymore? You can't be with your friends anymore? Would you like that? No. And that's what would happen to them in the synagogue. They said, you can't come here anymore. If they had problems, no one would help them. That was the way they were cared for. They couldn't come. It would be like saying, you can't come to church anymore. You can't come and learn from the Bible. You would be worse. It'd be worse for you than being a nobody. But John points out that their fear of being put out of the synagogue was a desire to look good to people. They were concerned about what people thought about them. They said, if we were kicked out, it wasn't like, oh, I won't get to worship God anymore. That's not what they were afraid of. They were afraid, well, what will people think of me? If I'm not allowed to come to the synagogue anymore, they're not going to think good of me. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So when it comes to fearing people, we have to think, it's not just, well, I'm afraid of that person. It's, do I want them to think good of me? Because I'm afraid of them thinking bad about me. And we have this choice. Do we choose to fear God or fear people? Are we more concerned about what God thinks or about what people think? Whose praise is more important? Now, this is a very important choice. And a verse in Proverbs tells us a lot more about this choice. But first, I'm going to ask you, do you know what this is? No? It's just an example. It's not a really good one, but it's an example. And the rest of you, can you see that? Jim? You familiar with what that might be? You're from West Virginia.
Can't see it.
Can't see it. That's what I thought. That's, you're not supposed to. What it's used for, it's good when it can't be seen. It's a snare. And I'll explain what a snare is in just a moment. But you need to know what that snare is to understand this verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man lays or sets a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." Now, there are three pairs of opposites in this verse. You have God and man. We've already talked about that. There's the fear of man versus the fear of God. And then there's fear, particularly the fear of people, versus trust in God. And we've been talking about fear, but here the opposite is not fear of God or praise from God, but trust in God. The danger from people can be very real. But do we act out of fear for people and what they can do to us or what they can say about us, or do we trust God? And we'll see more about that, what that means in a moment. And then there's this snare versus safety. Now, do you know what this might be used for? A snare? This is the type that, and it's not a very good one. Usually you wouldn't use copper, you would use stainless steel, wire. And often it would use another stick, a small branch or something to help poke up the other side. It's used for catching small animals. This would be what would be used for, like a rabbit. It gets stuck in the ground, drive it down deep, raised up above the ground. You know, rabbits tend to run the same path all the time. They have what's called a run. And if you chase a rabbit, my grandfather hunted rabbits. And he knew he could find a run, and he'd wait there, and he'd send his dog after the rabbit. And the dog would chase the rabbit, and that stupid rabbit would run around the circle and come right back to where it started. And there my grandfather was waiting for it. Not only that, they tend to hop onto the same spot all the time. And you can tell how large the rabbit is, how far it's jumping, how high it's jumping, by how wide. It's called the beat. And so you would find one of these places where the rabbit lands, and you would drive this stake just a little bit before, a little bit after. So when that rabbit comes down and goes to jump up, what do you think is going to happen? He's going to go right through that, and there he is caught. Now, there's different places you can put this thing. You can tie it to fences where rabbits go through. But the idea of a snare is to catch an animal, a small animal. And what do you think the person's going to do with it that catches it?
Kill it.
Right. They might want the fur. They might want to eat it. Is a snare a good thing for an animal or a bad thing? It's a bad thing. Fear of man sets a snare. It's like we were a rabbit and somebody comes along and sets this and it's just waiting for us. Fear of man is a snare. Now, there are different types of snare. There's bigger ones. You can catch larger animals with them. There's some, the special ones, different types for birds. This is for a small animal like a rabbit. Fear of people to us is what a snare is for an animal. Wanting praise from people because it involves fear of not getting that praise is also for us a snare. Now, when what's really important for us that people like us, we've set a snare. If that's what we think about, what are people going to think when I say this? What are people going to think about me? I really want them to like me. This is set up like a snare. It's ready to catch us. Is that something good or bad for us? It's bad, right? It's a dangerous thing if we're concerned a lot about what people think about us. Some people avoid disagreeing with others. Any type of conversation where there's going to be disagreement, they stop talking that way. Just because they might not like us for it. Well, if I take a different opinion, they're not going to like me. That's set a snare. When we don't like being corrected. How many of you really like being corrected here? How about being corrected in front of others? Ooh, that's tough. That's a snare. Do you like it in school when the teacher corrects you in front of everybody else? No. I can remember in school, it was really nice. You got your papers back, and they came along, and there were grades on them, and the teacher would take it and lay it down on your desk face down. And nobody else had to see your grade. Of course, they would all ask, what did you get? What did you get? My kids, when they went to school, the teacher would read them out in front of the other kids and say, oh, you got a really bad grade. That was really stupid. Oh, you don't like being corrected in front of people. When that happens, we've set a snare for ourselves. There's a problem. There's something that might catch us and cause us problems if we don't like receiving correction from people. Do we like it when people laugh at our jokes? Yeah. Do you? You don't? When you tell a joke, do you like people to laugh? Yeah, I do. It's nice too. It's really sad when you tell a joke and nobody laughs. That's when you learn another language and you try to tell a joke, you find out it's not funny in the other language. It's just, oh, these. But some people, they always want to get a response. They're always telling jokes. They always want to be fun. We may have laid a snare. When we always want the attention, we always want people laughing, that may be like setting a snare for us. Are we willing to lie to get out of trouble? You did something wrong, and you know you're going to get in trouble for it, and you say, well, I'll just twist it a little bit. We have set a snare. It's going to catch us at some point. When you get a little older, you may be really concerned about what you wear, conscious of fashion. Oh, that can really be tough, particularly in some schools. The kids go to school and they're always looking. Those are just normal jeans. You need special ones. Oh, those clothes. And if you really become concerned about what other people think about how you dress, you may have set a snare to catch you. Are we willing to do almost anything to keep a friend? Or at least someone we think is a friend? If that's our concern, if we'll do anything for it, we've set a snare. It's ready. We're come along. If we don't watch out, it's going to catch us. And we're going to be hurt. A snare is a trap to catch us and to hurt us. Fear of people is a snare. Even the fear of not pleasing people is a snare. It's a trap. And if we follow this path and we act according to our fear, now we're going to have the emotion many times. You know, the teacher calls on us to come up front and we're going to have to give an answer. We may have that, oh, I have to go up front. I don't have to do this. We may have the emotion, but we can choose whether we're going to act in fear or if we're going to trust God. Now, some of those hurts that come along can happen right away. The rabbit, if it goes through there, it doesn't have to wait too long. It's going to hurt around its neck or where it catches it. And when the hunter comes, then it's really going to be in trouble. There are things that we find out fairly quickly. You do things to keep that friend, and then they don't act like a friend anymore. They find somebody else, and we're disappointed. We trusted the wrong thing. You're afraid of getting in trouble, so you lie. And then you get caught in the lie. Somebody finds out you lied. And then you're really in trouble. That was always worse for me as a kid. If I got double the punishment for the lie, plus being punished for what I lied about. So it was a disaster to get caught in a lie. But there was always that temptation to, oh, well, I know I'm in trouble. Maybe I'll get away with this time. I set myself a snare, and sure enough, I went through it and got caught, and I was hurt because of it. People may laugh at your jokes. And sometimes that's good. But then they don't take you seriously because all you do is joke. And they think you're a clown. And they won't accept what I say. Or you get a bad reputation. And it's usually difficult being corrected. But if we need correction, we only hurt ourselves if we don't accept it. I've often come across people that way. They ask you about what should I do here, and you say, well, here's what the Bible says. This is the way you ought to live. Well, they don't like that, and they go away. They're going to hurt themselves. If they don't like being corrected from God's Word, they're just going to hurt themselves. I've been corrected so often. I made so many mistakes in German and been corrected so often. If I don't accept the correction, the result is I go keep on speaking bad German. Now, sometimes I don't always understand the correction. It doesn't always stick in my mind. And it can be very irritating when you can't finish a sentence without being corrected two or three times. But I need that if I'm going to improve. Now, these are examples of obvious results which come sooner or later, usually soon, when we fear man rather than God. But there are dangers that are much more long-lasting and dangerous. Jesus warned people about this as well, and we heard this read 4 Sundays ago. In Luke 12, Jesus says, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Who do you think he's talking about?
God.
God, right. Man can kill our bodies. And we say, well, that's something to fear. And you go, yeah. There's Christians in the world today that are fearful of that. There are those who are trying to kill Christians. But God says it's more important to fear him, to fear God, because what happens after death depends upon God. And he can not only kill the body, he can also determine where we end up in all eternity. We ultimately should want to be safe with God. And if we trust him, we will have eternal safety, even though we may face dangerous times here. Now think about some of the examples which I already gave. You could like to joke and get people to laugh, but some people joke at the cost of others. They get people to laugh by making fun of someone else. Now, when we stand before God, are we going to be able to say, well, God, I did good. I mean, I made people laugh. Is he going to say, well, yeah, you really told good jokes? Or he can say, you hurt people with your jokes. What do you think he's concerned about? That people laughed at someone else? Or that you hurt someone else? What do you think matters to God? Should we ask the adults? What do you think matters to God? Whether you got a laugh or you hurt someone. Have you hurt someone? He's not going to like that. There are things when we stand before God that's important to him. He says, love one another, not get good laughs. Don't hurt others. So we want to get people to laugh, and so we start telling jokes, and it hurts other people. We've set a snare, and we may not even realize when that's going to happen. It's just waiting there for us. And we're going through life, and and it catches us. And sure enough, at some point, God is going to say, I don't like that. That's not good. And if we're his children, he's going to want to correct us so that we learn to do right. If we lie to avoid trouble, we might even get away with it. I bet there are people in this world that have gotten away with lying for now, but not before God. He sees and knows. If I choose to tell the truth, I'm trusting God, and I avoid the snare. I really do not like having to offer correction, even biblical correction to people. And when it occurs frequently, and I have to deal with the same person over and over again in the same area, I like it even less. I don't like the idea of the reputation that I imagine it might give me. Oh, he's always being negative. He's always has something negative to say. But if I know the truth and I say nothing, I'm responsible before God. Being afraid, if I'm afraid of what people will think about me because I've told the truth, I have set for myself a snare. And one day, it's going to catch up with me because I'm going to have to answer before God. And I will be ashamed that I have not trusted God with my reputation. Being safe before God does not mean that we will never have trouble from people. This morning's scripture reading was from Psalm 56. King David, before he was king, wrote this psalm. According to the superscript, the very first verse where it tells a little bit about the psalm, he was in the hands of the Philistines. Now, who were the Philistines? You know, were they good guys or bad guys? You know, in the Old Testament, were they good or bad? Did they fight with Israel or against Israel?
Against
Israel, right. And you know who one of the the major men was that fought against the Philistines and won a lot? It was King David, before he even became king. It started with Samson, and then Saul, when he became king, fought against the Philistines, and then David fought against the Philistines, even before he became king. And with so many that they sang songs about him. He said, Saul has killed his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. And Saul got angry with David and jealous, and he began to hunt David. And so David ran away, and he ended up among the Philistines. And he was taken before the Philistine king. So on one side he has Saul chasing him to kill him, and here he is among the Philistines, and they're his enemies. And the king says, isn't this the one they sang the song about? Saul has killed his thousands and David his ten thousands. He was pursued. He was attacked, verse 1. He was slandered, verse 2. They say bad things about him, wrong things. His words were twisted. Things he said were taken and twisted around, verse 5. His enemies plotted to harm him, verse 5. Again, even to kill him, in verse 6. And these were real fears. The Philistines were real enemies. But he wrote, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Men were able to do a lot against David. But David saw the bigger picture. No mere person could affect David's standing before God. What could a man do? He could be right before God, and no matter what man did, that would not change being right before God, because he chose to trust God and to do what was right before God. We looked at another verse this summer. The kids weren't with us then. It was, we were talking about how to live righteously with our possessions. Jesus said you can only serve one master. At that point, you can only serve God or our possessions, our wealth. It also fits, you cannot serve both God and man, people. You can't have two masters. Either you're going to want to please God or you're going to want to please men. If your main concern is pleasing men, God's going to come second. If your main concern is pleasing God, then men will come second. People will come second. God is the better choice. God sees the heart, not just appearances. Do you remember the story when David was chosen to be king? I know some of you have had it in Sunday school. Saul was king. He disobeyed God. God told the prophet Samuel, I want you to go to this family in Bethlehem, family of Jesse, and anoint another king. So he went there. And Jesse started bringing his sons out. And they were big, strong, handsome guys. And Samuel thought, oh, this one's got to be king. God said, no, this one's not. Bring out the next son. No, this one's not. And God says to Samuel, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Finally, he went through all the sons except one, and he didn't know. Samuel didn't know about the other one. He asked, don't you have any other sons left? He said, yeah, I have my youngest one. Well, he's just out tending the sheep. He said, go get him. He brought him, and that was David. And God said, he's the one. Choose him. God sees our hearts. Our friends don't see our hearts. They look at our appearances. If we try to be nice before people, we might think they'll like us, but we're just seeing their appearance. We don't really know what's in their heart. God is the better one to trust. God is also not fickle. God will always remain true and faithful. He'll always be our friend. If we are His children, He says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll always be with us when we've trusted in Him. God does not unfairly favor one over another. Does that ever happen in school? You think a teacher has a favorite? And they're always doing for one some student. They always get the best jobs to do in class. And if there's a problem, that one never has done anything wrong. God never acts that way. He always knows exactly what's right and deals with each person the right way. The fear of man. When we're afraid of what people will do to us, when we're afraid that they might not like us as much as we want, we have set ourselves a snare. Something is going to catch us. Just look at that rabbit, not knowing what's going, hopping along. He jumps in and gets caught. Fear of man lays a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. We want to make sure we're pleasing God and doing good in His eyes and what He wants. I choose, when I'm afraid, I will trust in God. I choose not to live according to my fear, because I don't want to set a snare for myself. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You that we can trust in You. You are a faithful friend. You are true and faithful. You know all things. You judge justly. You do not judge by appearance. I thank You that You're at work in our lives, and even when we're facing fearful situations and in difficult times, as was David, pursued by Saul among the Philistines in their hands, yet when he was afraid, he chose to trust You. I pray that we too would trust You and act according to who You are and not according to our fears of those around us. May we always choose to fear You, to love Your praise more than the praise of men or to fear men. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.